Now, the United States and North Korea signed an armistice agreement 50 years ago. They never negotiated a peace treaty. The U.S. maintains 37,000 troops in South Korea, in addition to the hundreds of thousands of South Korean troops on active duty. The North has more than 1 million men under arms. The Korean Peninsula remains divided. Contacts between the North and South are limited. While South Korea developed into an economic powerhouse and a democracy, the North remained isolated and impoverished, a communist dictatorship with nuclear ambitions. Joining me to discuss the North Korean nuclear threat is Katie Oh, co-author of North Korea Through the Looking Glass. Katie Oh, we've had reports in the past week that North Korea is building now a second nuclear facility. The North Koreans apparently have said themselves that they intend to use plutonium to produce nuclear weapons. How real is this threat? Is perhaps the second facility bluster and posturing, or do you consider it credible?
Well, until the North Korean regime is completely open and have a different leadership, we will not know the entire truth. But given the history of the nuclear development program for the last 50 years, I would not consider North Korea's so-called declaration of their becoming a nuclear power is not just a simple bluffing. I think they meant that they would like to be treated as a nuclear state, and also it's the strong indication that they would like to deter any kind of aggression from outsiders.
Hmm. Given Kim Jong-il's incredible cult of personality and the long tradition on the peninsula of a strong man or an emperor, is North Korea more impervious than other countries to outside pressure?
Absolutely right. If you treat North Korea as a socialist state, I think from the beginning you are 100% wrong. North Korea is a hybrid of a combination of Confucianism, traditional Korean culture, dynastic imperial rule, and maybe about 10% of socialist characteristics. If you consider North Korea as a dynastic Confucian dictatorial totalitarianism, I think you are close to the truth. So in that sense, Kim Jong-il and the leading elite, they really don't give a damn about outside pressure, and they don't listen to any other outside pressure at all.
Katie, what is the impact, would you say, if any, of the Iraq war and U.S. behavior in Iraq on the Korean situation?
It has a very significant impact. These days, North Koreans virtually every day, every night, send out the very harsh rhetoric. And a lot of non-North Korean specialists took them as a kind of a very bad sign and threatening and bluffing. But to me, it's the signal that they are frightened to death. They think North Korea is next target. So it's basically warning, don't try to attack us. If you do so, we will take the committing suicide road by using all sorts of weapons of mass destruction.
You know, Katie, I know your book is about North Korea, but of course the prevailing view that we hear of in South Korea, especially among the young and university class population, is that it is the United States which is the problem, and North Korea is something they view benignly. Can you explain how it is that millions of people could be in what in our eyes might look like denial about the fact that it has this monstrously dysfunctional nuclear-armed country on its border?
Right. It's a very bizarre to many Westerners that South Koreans live just maybe almost under the nose of North Korean regime. They don't consider North Korea nuclear path to be a serious threat. Younger generations today of South Korea is about 65%. They were born after the Korean War, and their historic memory and understanding is very different from the older generations. First of all, they consider that U.S. forces in Korea may be just an unwelcomed guest, only though maybe we could put it in a more blunt way, necessary evil for a while until South Korea cope with the independent national security. Second of all, they consider North Korean people to be the divided brothers and sisters to be united someday. And actually, the American position toward the WMD is actually more obstacle toward that reconciliation.
Katie Oh, thank you very much for speaking with us today. Katie Oh is the co-author of North Korea Through the Looking Glass. Thanks again.
Thank you.